Now, as you know, we've been going through select passages from the book of James. If you've been with us, especially, you know, even a couple weeks ago, I was up here and we were covering parts of James chapter 4 from verses 11 to 12. And in particular, we were talking about the topic of slander and the phrase where in James chapter 4 it says, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another." And so it's interesting that, you know, we heard some testimony today about, you know, Elliot and even little Ruth. I mean, I don't know what they said or if it was really slander, but you know, our words mean a lot, right? Our words have the power to bless or to also hurt and potentially even curse. But hopefully over the last couple of weeks, our conversations have been full of grace and seasoned with salt, like what we read in Colossians 4. Verse 6. But today I want to finish up the last part of James chapter 4. So I'm going to ask all of you to stand and read James 4, verses 13 to 17 with me. So let's all read it together in one voice. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.' Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Thank you. You may be seated. And I want to start off this afternoon by asking, how many of you would consider yourself to be a planner? Can I? Okay, my wife was the first one up. Okay, she's in the back, but yeah, she's a planner, and kind of so am I guess, by default. But, you know, I think most of us would probably fall into that bucket, but it may vary probably by certain degrees. You know, some of us maybe have like a written down, maybe built out plan for tomorrow, and some of us may just have a general idea of how tomorrow might go or how we would want it to go, right? But regardless of how we are, whether we know exactly what time the alarm clock's going to go off or what we're having for breakfast, if you're thinking about breakfast tomorrow, or what you're going to pack the kids for lunch, or what times your work meetings might be, or what time you're going to eat lunch, and maybe how long it's going to take that lunch to digest in your system, the truth is that all of our tomorrows are actually influenced by outside factors. And while we may be planning for tomorrow, whether or not it actually occurs the way we planned it is another thing, right? We don't know what tomorrow holds, right? And in fact, we don't even know what the rest of today holds. I mean, we have a general idea, like I have an idea, okay, well, after the message, you know, I think we're gonna do communion because it looks like we have the bread and the wine. I think we're going to, you know, we're probably going to have a potluck. We're going to go upstairs and then everyone's going to sit down. Everyone's going to eat. We're going to chit chat. We're going to see how each other's weeks have been. And then people will start going home. And then like, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll probably, you know, lock up and close up. And then my wife will go home and take the kids home first. And then she'll probably put some of the kids to bed. And then when I get home, maybe some of the older ones will be awake and I'll probably help put them to bed. And then I'll finally be able to like relax, or, I mean, we kind of have a general idea of what might happen, right? But let's go back to that passage. Now listen, it says in verse 13, "You who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.'" Now, James seems to be addressing some sort of a businessman or a merchant, right? But I think the principle actually applies to all of us, right? This guy is a planner, or this gal, or whoever he's addressing. There was a defined point in time, right? Today or tomorrow. And there was a plan to go to a particular city. There was a defined period of time that this person would stay. It says a year. And then there was even a plan to engage in business and make money. It sounds like a pretty solid business plan, right? So I guess when I read this, I was like, okay, James, what's really the problem? Like, is this wrong? Is it wrong to plan and to go to places and to do things? Like, what's wrong with this plan? I don't think it's necessarily wrong to plan per se, but when you read when you read verse 13, you know, this person that James is talking to about, there seems to be such a certainty and a sureness of this person's plans. Like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, today or tomorrow, I'm going to go to this city. You know, it's almost like a confidence that he or she is so sure that it's going to happen. And I think really, if we look closer in this passage, perhaps what's really wrong is that this person really did not take a true view of life and of what God was doing into account. You know, if we look at the next verse, verse 14, it really talks about the true view of life and really what life is, you know, how to view life, right? It says, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So really the true view of life, and we'll touch upon that in a little bit, but then also verse 15 talks about the true view of God and that this person really didn't take that into account. You know, verse 15 says, if it is the Lord's will, you know, I think this person neglected to see God's perspective. This person neglected to see God's kingdom reality that John Stembo talked about last week. This person only saw his reality. This person only saw his business, his plan to go to that city. But was God's perspective part of that plan? And I think that's really what James is talking about, is that, you know, a lot of times we plan, and it's okay to plan, but are we keeping God's perspective in mind? How many of us actually plan a ton of stuff, and then we ask God to bless our plans? Instead of, okay, God, what is your perspective for tomorrow? What is your perspective for next month? What is your perspective for next year? And seeing it from God's perspective and saying, okay, now how am I supposed to plan? Knowing your kingdom reality, knowing your perspective, knowing your will for my life and why I'm here. And I think a lot of us, it's very easy to fall into that situation, right? So I think today I just want to encourage you to really, as we look at these verses, to keep God's kingdom perspective, his eternal values in mind as we go about our lives. So I want to go back to verse 14, this view of life, right? So verse 14, it says, you know, he says, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I mean, it sounds kind of like, I don't know, in a little sense, morbid, right? It's kind of like, you're a mist that appears and then vanishes. But the fact is, our life is so temporal, right? If you think about our life compared to eternity, it is so temporal. It's so finite and it's so fleeting. And we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We think tomorrow will happen, and I hope that it will, but we don't know if tomorrow will happen. I mean, that's pretty much the reality, right? You know, the older I get, the more I realize that I am getting older and that life is literally flying by. You know, like I still remember, like, you know, sometimes I think, oh, I'm not that old. But then when I'm thinking like, oh, I am old because I'm turning whatever this month, or, you know, but I still fondly remember like running around as a kid. You know, I still fondly remember growing up in our San Jose church, you know, calling some of you aunties and uncles. I still remember, you know, going to high school. I still remember like graduating from college, right? And it just seems like almost yesterday, but then when I calculate, oh, it wasn't yesterday. It was kind of a long time ago. You know, I still remember when I started my first job, when I was so green, right, in the industry. I still remember when Cheryl and I started going out. You know, I still remember when we got married, when we had kids. But then it's like, oh, that was quite a long time ago. And it's like, life is flying by. And I think, you know, I know I'm looking at you younger guys, because as a younger person, I was like, oh, I still have almost like my whole life to live, right? But you know what? Cherish your time, because really, What James is saying is this mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, it's so true. I think the older we get, the older we realize that really life is finite. Like, I think of myself and I'm like, you know, I think like half my life is probably over, right? And it's like, well, what have I done with my life? You know, what have I done in relation to God's kingdom perspective? And I don't want to dwell on this point of our life is like a mist, because he says, if our life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, then really, how should we live? Right? If our life is really temporal, then how really should we live? Like, are we supposed to live in constant fear, knowing that our life will vanish? Like, knowing that tomorrow may not even be guaranteed? Are we supposed to be paranoid? Of course not, right? Should we even bother, since life is so temporal? Like, does it even matter? Does our life even matter? But of course it matters, right? And I wanted to just read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. It says, be very careful then how you live, how I live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil, right? The writer, you know, Paul is basically saying, be very careful then how you and I live. So my challenge to you today is, how are you living? How am I living? Knowing that our life may be like a mist. Are we living wisely? Are we living with God's perspective in mind? Or are we living foolishly? Are we making the most of every opportunity? Are we making the most of every opportunity? Right? I mean, Barbara was sharing about how she, you know, was able to pray for her coworker. That's wonderful. That's so awesome that, you know, she heard the Lord impressing upon her heart to pray for his back, right? So what opportunities is God presenting to me? What opportunity is God presenting to you, wherever you might be? You know, if you're in school, if you're in your workplace, if you're in your neighborhood, are we even aware of those opportunities? Because it says that we're supposed to make the most of every opportunity. Are we asking God to show us those opportunities that he may be presenting before us? Or are we so engrossed perhaps in planning for tomorrow that we are so maybe long-term looking that we don't really see what's before us, that we don't see the opportunities that are right in front of our very eyes? Maybe God is asking you to spend some time with your coworker. Maybe God is asking you to, instead of hanging out with your friends, spending some time with a new friend. Maybe God's inviting you to see him at work at your school. Is Jesus asking you to take a risk and perhaps to maybe talk to your neighbor? What opportunity is God presenting before you today? And, you know, we read that James was saying that you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You know, when I read that, I was reminded of one of the parables that Jesus taught in Luke. And that's found in Luke 12, 16 to 21. And I'm just going to read it. It's on the screen. But Jesus was saying, and he told him this parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores things up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. In this parable that Jesus was telling, this rich man was doing very well in life, right? He had an abundant harvest. His stocks were probably doing very well, right? He planned to build bigger barns to store this abundant harvest, saving up for a rainy day, right? Becoming very comfortable. It says that he had plenty of grain laid up for many years. He could take life easy. He could finally relax. He could retire early. He could get comfortable and enjoy life. It says he's thinking he could eat, drink, and he could be merry. Sounds like a good plan, right? But what was God's response? God actually calls this man a fool. That's pretty harsh language. And there was no guarantee of that next day. There was no guarantee that, the man thought he could build a bigger barn tomorrow. But that night, his life was gone. There was no tomorrow for that rich man. And in verse 21, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. This is a very stark statement, right? So what went wrong? I think we all know, right? Obviously greed, right? An amassing of wealth, a storing up of treasures on earth, tearing down the current barns and building even bigger ones to store the abundance. Not being aware of God's reality. This man wasn't aware, or maybe he chose not to be aware of God's kingdom reality. Not being rich towards God and just focusing on himself. My challenge and encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, is really, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about just ourselves. And you may have heard us, sharing about this, but it really isn't just about me and my family and what God is blessing me with. But it's really about what God is doing in our midst, even together as a community. And that's why we're doing stuff like taking up a love offering. It's not about my own comforts. It's about helping out a brother and his family in need. Right? This is what God is calling us to do, to not invest in treasures on earth, but to invest in treasures in heaven, things that will not rust or decay. Not focusing on ourselves and our own needs. Verse 15 in James. This is that true view of God, where he's saying, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. I think James is really reminding us that really God is part of all of this. It's not just, again, about me. It's not just, again, about my plan. But really, what is the Lord's will? What is God's plan for you and for me? How does he want you and I to live in community? How does he want you and I to impact our neighborhood, to impact and influence the society that he's called us to? James is reminding me that the Lord needs to be in all of our plans. It's okay to plan, but what is the Lord doing in the midst of our planning? Again, we can't just plan things and ask him to bless it after we've got it all figured out. What is that perspective that God is asking us to see? And how does my life fit into God's perspective? Again, seeing it from that kingdom, eternal perspective. And I guess I was trying to think about, why is it that I plan? Why is it that we think about all these plans? Last year, Josiah was in kindergarten. And then I think we had he was our first kid in the school system, right? So we kind of forgot that, during summer, there's no school, right? So 10 weeks of no school. And then we're like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with those 10 weeks? And so I think we were trying to scramble to get these plans in place. One week we would do this, and next week he would do this camp and that camp. But we were kind of under the gun because I think probably those of you that are more experienced parents, you probably plan way ahead, right? And you know, to make sure your kids' summer plans are in place. But it really took us by surprise, and so we were scrambling to put these plans in place. But even as I was thinking about why we plan, I think sometimes we plan because maybe perhaps we're fearful of the unknown. Like, we have to save up for a rainy day. Or perhaps it's a control thing. Like, I want to know exactly what I'm going to do 5 months from now, where I'm going to be, where I'm going to be living, right? Maybe it's the fear of the unknown. Or maybe it's really even a fear of not being prepared. And I think the thing about fear is, I think fear can actually be very paralyzing in our lives. And I want to share a kind of a little example. It doesn't totally fit, but I hope you'll get the gist. So you know that we have a daughter named Esther. Well, she's very fearful of a lot of things. And one of the things that she's very fearful of are dogs. And so I think I'm to blame because as a kid, I was very fearful of dogs. And so Esther's very fearful of dogs. And so, you know, we were invited to a party. And even though this party, some of her best friends were there, like older girls, but who she loves and adores. Even though these friends of hers were going to be there, she was so fearful because she knew that at that household, at that party, there was a dog. And she was almost not going to go because of the dog, despite the fact that her friends were there. But we tried to reassure her that, you know what, the dog's not going to, you know, the dog, they're going to put the dog away, don't worry. But she almost like didn't go to the party because of this fear. It basically paralyzed her so much that she was willing to forgo her best friends, you know, was playing with her. She was willing to forgo the delicious food. She was willing to forgo everything because of that fear of the dog. And I feel like sometimes with whatever fear we have of the future, sometimes that paralyzes us when we're planning, or maybe because we're so into planning for the future that perhaps that fear cripples us, that we cannot see in the present. And we don't even see the things that are going on around us that God is presenting before us. Those opportunities that God is giving you and I, we miss out because we're so fearful. We're so fearful of perhaps the unknown, perhaps of the future. So I really want to encourage you to come before the Lord and to really say, God, I need to submit my plans to you. And I think we need to be honest with the Lord. If there is fear, that we need to say, Lord, come and take my fear. I want to surrender that fear to you. And really to know that, you know, our life, it's really in God's hands. You know, there's no guarantee, right? And so if there is no guarantee, then what is it that we are doing in the present? The only guarantee that we have is the Lord holds us. The only guarantee that we have is the Lord knows our future. And he invites us to trust him. He invites us to trust him when our kids aren't sleeping. He invites us to trust him when life is so chaotic. He invites us to trust him when we don't really know what tomorrow will bring. And so I think that's really the privilege of us being his children, is that the Lord is so gracious that he invites us to come before him with our fears and to say, Lord, I don't know about my future, but I know that my future is in your hands. So I hope that even as you think about today or tomorrow, that we wouldn't be arrogant about our plans, like it says in James, but that we would really entrust our future to the Lord and to really see his kingdom perspectives and to really see those opportunities that God is presenting before us.
We're going to enter into this next moment, which is a really a sacred time for the church. Once a month, we're now beginning to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We call it communion, the Lord's Supper. It's really a perfect reminder of what God is speaking to us today through His Word. As we break the bread and as we drink from the cup, this reminds us of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. I think it was this morning I read refer to a short verse in Romans chapter 8. I want you to think about this one verse where it says, the Father who did not spare His own Son for all of us, how much more will He not give all things to us when we put our trust in Him? Uncertainty is scary, isn't it? I think that's why we worry, we're anxious, we're fearful of tomorrow, what might come. But the Lord is really inviting us. If we have a God, the Father, who gave us His Son for our eternal future, wouldn't He be able to take care of our tomorrow, next day, next week, next month? So I don't know where you are today. Maybe some of us are really going through a difficult season and we feel like the life is falling apart. We're not getting sleep, kids are crying, or we're having a terrible week at our work, or maybe some relationships are not going well. All these things cause us to worry and become anxious, be fearful of stepping into what God is really preparing for us. Tonight, or this afternoon as you come, I'm just going to open up the table for a time of communion. I want you to bring your burdens, your concerns, your worries, your fears. Exchange it with this blessed assurance that the Lord has for us. As we receive the life of Christ through the body of Jesus and the blood that is shed for us, I hope you'll leave behind here at the cross the burden that you brought into this place, your fears, your anxiety. So let's enter into this time, and I'm going to invite Elliot just to be on the keyboard. Do we have a song? Or if not, let's just take some time just reflecting on this beautiful table that the Lord set before us. When you're ready, come on out and you can take a piece of bread and dip it, and then take it, and that's how we're going to end our time together. So let's go to the table of the Lord. Lord, we thank You for reminding us tonight that we're not just made for this short temporal life, that You have prepared a whole eternity for us. Father, help us not to get short-sighted. We exchange all our burdens, our fears, our anxiety with the hope of our eternal life that You have for us. We're thankful for this communion table, which is a reminder of Your investment into our future. So Lord, we surrender our hearts and our lives to You. And Lord, we do pray that as we leave this place and as we enter into the world for this next week, that we will live to invest every hour, every day that You have given to us for our coming future with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.